from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Celtics take a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. But that is not even close to the most controversial moment in basketball over the weekend, and that was the, pardon the pun, but the brick that was laid by Team USA and the Women's Basketball Committee that decided to leave Caitlin Clark off of their roster. Perloff, this was stunning to me because the stated goal of this team is to grow and promote the game, and you have a phenom who is doing just that by every standard and metric, and you are leaving her off, and I'm not even really sure why. We don't have a reason yet officially stated by the committee because there's some kind of embargo until Tuesday or whatever. There's no like sound and justifiable reason to keep Caitlin Clark off this roster.
Just back it up for a second. What is the stated goal of the women's Olympic team is to grow the sport?
Of women's Olympic basketball, yes.
Isn't the stated goal a gold medal?
Well, they do that. They do that anyway. So they've won 7 straight gold medals.
Why is it their job to... Regardless.
They've made it their job. They want that to be their job. That's one of their stated goals and initiatives. Grow and promote the game. And yeah, win. And they win. They win all the time. This is not a team. And again, another reason why Caitlin Clark should be on this team is because, first of all, this is totally subjective. Team building is subjective. And you can't say that Caitlin Clark hasn't even earned it because she is holding her own, even though she is a rookie and very young into her WNBA career. Perloff, the team is not good. The Indiana Fever are not good. But right. Caitlin Clark is not bad right now. And Christine Brennan really laid this out in USA Today, so I want to give her credit because she's also one of the people who broke this story. Caitlin Clark right now is 13th in WNBA in scoring. She's 2nd in three-pointers made. She's 4th in assists per game. She has made history. She's the first player in WNBA history with 200 points, 75 assists in her first 12 career games. She's not, and she's getting everyone's best defensive effort and getting knocked around like crazy. She's not sucking. Her team sucks. She doesn't suck. And she might not be the best player, but as Christine Brennan put it, she's the most important player. And I don't know how they can allow this snub to happen. It's brutal.
Man, if she's one of the 12 best, she's shooting 37% from the field. That's terrible.
But
that's
what's her three-point percentage?
Her 3-point, 32%.
She had 7 threes.
32%? That's not good.
Okay, but is it, she's better, she's that's hitting that, more threes than Diana Taurasi.
Well, maybe that's why the team is so bad, because she's not hitting her shot. And by the way, it's actually one of the reasons, like, she's firing up a lot of shots, which are not good shots. She has to take very tough shots, because she's not getting a lot of space on that team. But, I mean, you could easily make a compelling argument that she doesn't belong on basketball-wise yet. Yeah, that's a big yet. I completely acknowledge she will 100% be there in 4 years, but it's an easy argument. Like, this would be a symbolic move to put her on. Is that what we're doing? We're sort of saying, okay, we know this is for ratings, so we're going to put her on the team. Would you put, say there was in the NBA and there was some guy who's an awesome slam dunker but a terrible player, would you put him on the Olympic team just for eyeballs?
Okay, this is what I don't like about this Caitlin Clark situation. We act like all these teams get chosen and it's perfect every single time. That's not true, because Isaiah Thomas would have been on the dream team if we were picking the perfect team every single time. He deserved to be there, and he wasn't. Let's not act like this is not subjective. And here's the thing about Caitlin. It's not like it would be so symbolic, like she's the 15th person on the bench, and, you know, we need a way to get her in here, even though she's been terrible. I saw LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony sit on a bench when they were at the Olympics in 2004. No one called that symbolic.
But didn't a lot of the veterans be like, I don't even want to go on that trip anymore because nobody cares about Olympic basketball? That's the only reason they were on that roster.
It wasn't because no one wanted to go. It was because there were security issues, because it was 2004. We were in, they had to stay on like a cruise ship. It was, security was a big deal.
Right, that's why the young guys
were in the shadow of 9/11. But you know, this is the thing. I'm just saying teams get made for a variety of different reasons. Yeah. And if you have this person who is no doubt bringing more eyeballs and attention to the sport, to leave her off just to me seems so short-sighted. And I'll give you one more. If I'm NBC, I am stepping in. And at this point, you're not going to do her any favors, because now it's going to look even more like, oh, here comes the TV executives. They had to get involved. But I wouldn't care. If I was running NBC and I'm paying billions of dollars to air the Olympics, and I've got, yeah, I've got stars. I've got Simone Biles. I've got Katie Ledecky. I've got other, you know, I've got the men's side for basketball. Yeah. I've got a lot of stars, but I want Caitlin Clark. She could have been a flag bearer, maybe. I don't know. She could have been part of the broadcast. People have an insatiable appetite for her right now. Why not give us what we want?
Because it doesn't feel like sports. It feels like, you know, it feels phony. And that's the worst thing about sports. It feels like you're just putting on here for eyeballs and marketing. And it's like, ugh. And even, by the way, Isaiah Thomas, 92, like, yes, you did have some old guys on there that were rewarded. But Isaiah was definitely, like, not. So he was at the end. Like, he was not a great player anymore.
Larry Bird's back was falling apart.
But he was Larry Bird. I mean, Isaiah, it would have been like, yes, it wasn't that obvious that he didn't belong on the dream team, because he wasn't a great player anymore. Like, if it was peak Isaiah, you would have had to put him on the team. So, again, like, yes, there were some symbolic placements, but generally, like, that dream team was pretty darn good. Like, Caitlin Clark is not Larry Bird.
Perloff, Christian Leiter was on that team.
They had to pick one college player, and he's the greatest college player of all time.
So okay, and she might be the second.
Yes, but the problem is, if she was still in college, then you could put her on the team. But now that she's in WNBA, it's a different calculus.
That's a function of the schedule. She just got drafted a month and a half ago.
Yeah, but
Leitner entered the NBA that same season, that same calendar year.
It just feels weird putting a rookie 10 games in who really hasn't had any success yet. It would have been... I think, honestly, this is good for Caitlin. Like, let her earn the Olympic team so it doesn't feel like she's being gifted anything. Because this would have been a gift. It would not have been a competitive move.
So here's the thing. First of all, I disagree with that. And
so you think she deserves it? Like, she's definitely one of the top 12 players in the
deserve
WNBA.
Is so subjective.
But that sounds like what you're saying is, like, she kind of, you don't think it'd be a symbolic move.
Here's why. I feel like I'm getting cheated as a fan. And I want to see her. And I've got all these other casual fans who have come now you've asked for their attention and you got it. And I know the WNBA and Team USA are not the same. But in terms of women's hoops, and we're talking about growing the game, we're talking about partners, you're talking about advertisers, you're talking about media, all this stuff. You've asked for our attention and now you have it. And what you're going to do with it is take a phenom player who we're all happy watching, excited watching, and tuning in for, and for no good reason. There's not a good reason here. You can have your reasons, but none of them are, like, great.
But she doesn't deserve to be on the team is not a great reason?
Deserve is so subjective. Again,
but is this a sporting event or a TV show?
Did Christian Leiter deserve to be on the team?
Is this The Bachelor? Are we watching a reality show? Or is this supposed to be sports? I'm a little confused about what's going on here.
Okay, so you're going to tell me that Kawhi Leonard deserves to be on this team if he's going to be hurt so he can go over there to sell shoes?
He's one of the great NBA players. Yeah, Kawhi, when he's healthy, I mean...
He's
yes,
not going to be healthy, though. Like, these teams
well,
get put together for silly reasons.
That's a particular case with a guy who's got a lower body injury history. Not like Kawhi is not an amazing player. It's proven it time and time again.
And he'll be sitting on the bench doing nothing. I'm just pointing that. So that's a good way to build a team. I'm just pointing out the fact that she brings something to the table that you need an international basketball, which is obviously three-point shooting. And
not well yet, but okay.
But we have a lot of data to go on that she's a really good three-point shooter, like her whole college career. And it's not like she's been, you know, a bricklayer since she's gone to the WNBA. And the other part is, we're being sanctimonious now? Like, give me a break. You hate the Olympics. You think it's all a big marketing tool.
I don't hate the Olympics. That's not fair. But I do think, like, yeah, and what are you saying? We should do this for marketing, for 100% for marketing. So forget, it sounds like a giant commercial for Amex. Like, what is the Olympics? Like, it's way too commercialized. And what you're suggesting makes it even worse to me. We're not putting the best team out there. We're putting the team that we think will make the most money for us.
Perloff, amateurs.
And you said NBC should jump in, too.
Yes. If I was NBC, I'd jump in. Amateurs aren't competing now in basketball. That's gone. So it's all commercial because you literally have pros. They're stopping the season to send them there.
That's why
it's all marketing. It's all about growing the game globally. And I just don't understand why they would just take this opportunity that's sitting right gift-wrapped in their lap and not take it.
That's why I prefer the WNBA, because it's about winning on the court. It's not about who is going to make us the most money by putting them out there. Otherwise, they would just promote Caitlin Clark and make her go to the final. I mean, I prefer it to be just a much more competitive situation. It's just timing. She just got the WNBA. She doesn't have time to prove her worth to be on the Olympic team. She's not. There's no way she's one of the top 12 players in the WNBA right now. That's just like, I mean, their team's terrible. She is shooting 37% from the field.
Do you think she shouldn't get a $28 million deal from Nike?
Oh, of course she should.
Okay, so what's the difference?
Because the Olympics is supposed to be a competitive event. The Nike thing is just pure marketing. Yeah, she's the most marketable player the sport's ever had. No one would argue that.
Okay, but it's not like she's a butcher out there, right? She hasn't been bad. She was a rookie of the month. They've been putting all of her games on the biggest platforms that they can have. And she's holding her own in a league that basically feels like everyone's out to get her. And so...
But if you're Caitlin Clark, would you want to be on this team, or would you want to really earn it in 4 years?
To be honest, I want to be on this team, and I'll tell you why if I'm her. Because
to sell sneakers?
No, maybe. But I don't know what's going on between the veterans and her. I think it maybe is a little overblown that they, like, hate her. I don't think they hate her. I think they're giving her a lot of welcome to the WNBA moments, and they're being really hard on her. This is an opportunity where I actually get to know these women, because she couldn't go to the pre-Olympic camp because she was playing in the Final Four and then playing in the championship game. So she didn't have a proper Olympic workout. So maybe I get to know some of these women. Maybe I get to learn a little bit from some of these veterans. And yes, I want her around this team so she can simply even soak up what they have to give, the knowledge they have to give her. Like, let's pass the torch. And it doesn't have to be contentions. There doesn't have to be tension. Maybe they embrace her a little bit more if they just got to know her.
God, I mean, you're making this sound so unfun. It's incredible. Like, now I don't want her there just because I don't want you to be yelling at me about it. I just feel like it would
be
such a distraction.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at Team USA.
It'd be such a distraction. I mean, this is like,
LeBron sat on the bench and it wasn't a distraction.
Well, yes. Young LeBron is nothing compared to the lightning rod that is Caitlin Clark. I think part of the reason is maybe they don't want her on the bench, because like then everyone's going to be like, why aren't you playing her?
Well, again, then now you're admitting that you are listening to the fans. So
I'm not. No. I honestly.
That you're thinking about the fans if you're like, well, it's not going to be good if we just have her sitting there on the bench. Meanwhile, again, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony sat their asses on the bench and it didn't matter. But
they are nothing. There's nothing in common with those early. Even LeBron, as much hype as he had, was nothing like Caitlin Clark. Like, presidents are weighing in on Caitlin Clark. Like, LeBron was relatively a no-name compared to Caitlin Clark at this point.
You're misremembering that.
No, I don't think. But whether LeBron was on the Olympic team, that was not. I don't remember that being a huge issue. Nobody cared.
Well, and I'm just saying, she can sit on the end of the bench and she can be a part of this team.
Yeah,
and
but
it doesn't
she
have to
just
be an outrage.
Easily not be on the end of the bench. Like, if it wasn't for the marketability, like, nobody would care. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, as far as competitively, she could be there, she could not be there. She's just right around that level,
okay,
whatever.
It's sports. It's not politics. It's not, okay, if the fans want something, what's the harm in giving it to them?
It just feels like, yeah, because it's not a fan vote. It's supposed to be a competitive event that you earn the team. Like,
okay.
Because otherwise you could put Anna Kournikova into the Wimbledon final every year or whatever. Or you could have the Dallas Cowboys. The fans clearly want the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. You can't give it to them.
Sure. So at one point she'd be sitting on the end of the bench and she's irrelevant. At the other point she'd just be overshadowing everybody. It can't be both ways. Like, what is it? Because
what do you mean?
Here's the thing. The women have won the gold medal. The women's basketball team have won the gold medal 7 games in a row. They haven't lost a game. nobody was watching one of the most dominant teams we have. And every person who covers those games will tell you press rows are empty. It feels like a fait accompli. They do not get the media attention that they want. They want it. So why not give everybody and make everybody happy?
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin comes in. You get more media attention. You get, and maybe you get more eyeballs even still on the game. The women are dominant and nobody has been paying attention. So why not give something that makes people sit up and tune in?
Because it feels like the wrong reasons to put her on the team. That's why. I mean, for me, it feels like you're not putting it there because she earned it yet. And that's not a great feeling. To me, I wouldn't want that feeling. I mean, yes, I agree with you. She's kind of borderline to make the team or not.
Right.
I would have no problem if she made the team, but I feel just to put her there for those reasons are the wrong reasons. By the way, Kawhi Leonard, if they need to shut down Canada, and there's no way. If he's actually healthy and playing defense, forget it.
No way.
Oh, my, his arms are so long. Trust me, if Benedict Mathurin's getting hot, they need to shut him down and put Kawhi in.
Mike is in South Carolina. What we want to hear from you on Caitlin Clark, 855-212-4227. Mike, what do you have?
Maggie, I grew up in Nassau County. I used to listen to you on the fan. And never spoke to you before. I didn't really care for your partner. That's another story. I was going to talk
Which
about
one?
Caitlin.
Just yeah, kidding. So just kidding. Don't mention him.
Okay. I played college baseball, high level, okay? And anybody who plays sports, and I had pitchers tell me after the game they wanted to throw one at my head. And you know what? Spikes high at second base playing shortstop, turning to double play. And payback is a you-know-what. Anybody that plays sports and there's any, you know, nonsense going on, and Caitlin, and I agree what you said, Maggie, she belongs on the U.S. Olympic team, okay? And she is just, you know, she changed the whole atmosphere with women's basketball. And what she went through, I call it with that girl that gave her a blind shot, that's thuggery on the hardwood. That's what it is. And anybody that does that, guess what? Payback is a you-know-what. And Caitlin, you know, keep doing what you're doing, and the endorsements and everything you're getting, every girl, I have a daughter, she played fast pitch softball, okay? Every girl in the country is bouncing a basketball, okay?
I know, and it could be every girl in the world. And Mike, thank you so much, and thank you for checking in. It's great to hear from you. Why not think that you can scale this with Caitlin, right? WNBA is one thing, getting people in America to pay attention. Why not think that maybe internationally she could have an impact too? Ramon is in Indianapolis, home of the Indiana Fever. Good morning, Ramon.
Good morning, Maggie and Pearl. Two of my favorite sports reporters and personalities. I like. I'm going to agree completely with Pearl of Maggie. I know you're not going to like it.
That's okay.
Gentleman just called and said he was in college baseball. Well, I played college baseball too, sir. I had to walk on. I had to earn it.
Yep.
Okay. I coach sports. It's a meritocracy. You have to earn it. Now, I know we got business and money, but everything can't just be about the money. That's the problem we're having in the world now. I mentor and deal with 9 to 15-year-olds. I'm telling you, that's the problem we're having now. They only look at what is going to make money. Do you know we did a poll from young people, and the one most job that the young men I mentor said they want to do would be a minister, and the reason why I said because they make a lot of money. They didn't mention Jesus. They didn't mention ministering to people. They didn't mention nothing. All they thought about All they thought about was the money. Sometimes we got to have ethics and morals, which is what we learn in college classes. You had ethics and morals classes. The ethics say she cannot make the team yet. And I'll leave with this. Ask Jalen Brunson how he feels right now. He's been left off. Ask Kyrie Irving how he feels right now. He's been left off. Ask Isaiah Thomas how he felt when he got left off. It happens. Snubs happen. She'll grow. She'll learn. And you can't just have everything.
But Ramon, here's the thing. It's not Caitlin who's the one who's making a stink about this. And thank you, Ramon. And keep doing that great work with young people. Goodness knows. We need that. But it's not Caitlin. Caitlin's being totally gracious about this. She's the one who's saying, I'm still going to root for the team, and this is not a disappointment. She's saying all the right things. as a fan, I'm disappointed. This is not Isaiah Thomas bringing all this stuff up 30 years later because he can't let it go. This is me as a fan, and the WNBA and women's basketball in general, and Team USA for the women, getting this opportunity and just kind of willingly, you know, turning a blind eye. Like, LeBron James was the biggest thing to come into the NBA since Michael Jordan, and he sat on the end of the bench, and he could have been part, and she could have been part of this team also. And I'm not, you didn't have to guarantee her all this playing time. And the thing is about morals and ethics and sports, Ramon, I love it. It's business. Sports are business.
Okay. I get it. You know, the flag bearer thing sounds really cool, but watching her score 6 points against Greece, is that such a wonderful entertainment product?
If it brings more eyeballs to the sport, why not?
I'm just saying, like, is this really going to change everyone's Olympic experience? I'm not sure how much she would have been able to do.
How often do you think she's going to get there? The other teammates are going to get asked about Caitlin, whether she's there or not.
I have no idea. I mean, honestly, as you said, I've never watched a woman's series of women's basketball interviews at the Olympics, and they've won 7 in a row. That's news to me. Honestly, did LeBron lost his first Olympics, right?
They got the bronze.
I disagree with EJ for one. That I just don't think since the Dream Team anyone cares about Olympic basketball that much.
Well, I'll disagree with you on that, but I'll tell you what, no one's been caring about the women.
Yeah, no one cares about the women.
Make them care.
Like, I have no idea how the men did last time. They won
the gold.
Wasn't it on the middle of the night and nobody, like, it just doesn't, there seems to be something missing with Olympic basketball. I agree with you. Maybe if you put Caitlin out there, but if they're going to blow out everyone and she's going to get 2 3-pointers at the end of the game, is that so compelling and interesting? I'm not sure it even matters.
I'll be honest. It'd be nice to see, even if, I don't know how much she would play if she was on the team. Clearly she's not on the team, so we don't know. It'd be nice to see her playing for something meaningful. Because that's not going to happen with the
meaningful.
Fever.
It's not even meaningful enough that they even care competitively who's on the team. They're just putting there, she's going to make them a lot of money.
No. I'm just saying to actually compete for a gold medal, at least feels like there's stakes. The Fever stink. You know, she's on a bad team. So we saw her at Iowa. She was actually trying to win a college national championship. Now she'd be on a team that's trying to win a gold medal. At least there's something. Indiana, they're playing for, we're watching and tuning in, and we know they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Would you rather see her earn it the old-fashioned way? Like, kind of just play her way? It's going to be so exciting when she's there in 4 years.
Yeah,
I think
4 years. I mean, 4 years from now.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be wonderful to watch her grow as a player and grow as a team. And like, yes, like how bad they are now, it's going to make it even cooler when she eventually succeeds.
855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in on Caitlin Clark. She gets snubbed from Team USA. Do you think this was the right move to leave her off the roster? Or do you think that it was the wrong move? At Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. You can also watch us. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Okay, so much more going on. That was just one thing that happened this weekend. We have more for you, including a decision any minute now on Dan Hurley. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Some heated Caitlin Clark debate here. I got an interesting tweet, Maggie. The issue is, should Caitlin Clark be on the Olympic team? She is not, as of right now, and you think it's a missed opportunity. JDM tweeted us that there's only been 2 times where the number one overall pick was not immediately put on the WNBA, on the Women's Olympic team. He's in 16, Breonna Stewart, okay, immediately put on the Olympic team. In 2020, Sabrina Ionescu, immediately put on the Olympic team. So there is a precedent, and I didn't realize that, that's how they did it. That's surprising to me. I would have thought, because of the structure of the WNBA, it goes college season ends, draft, and they're on the court almost immediately to put, but those are two pretty big names. If Breonna Stewart can do it, I think Caitlin Clark's in that territory. So it would have made sense. That being said, I still think that in reality, she has not quite earned one of those top 12 spots. So I say keep it all above board, make it just about play, do not bring in marketability. I am taking what I consider the higher road here,
yeah,
Maggie.
Wow. No.
Yeah, I am not about the money. No. I'm about the competitive spirit, the Olympic spirit.
Well, you know who takes the high road is Caitlin Clark herself. Pete, can we just hear Caitlin Clark in cut two? She's asked if she's disappointed that she didn't make the team. This is her answer.
Honestly, no disappointment. Like, I think it just gives you something to work for. You know, that's a dream. You know, hopefully one day I can be there and I think it's just a little more motivation. You remember that, and you know, hopefully in 4 years, when 4 years comes back around, you know, I can be there.
Yeah, the high road should be named Caitlin Clark Boulevard because she lives on the high road. But she also said if Team USA needs anything, she's there to help and she'd be there to fill in. Like, she wants to play, guys. Like, she wants to play. I know people are saying, oh, she could use a month off to rest or whatever. She wants to play. Let's not tell professional athletes what they can do with their bodies, right? 855-212-4227. Zach's in Boise. Zach, what do you think? Caitlin Clark left off the Olympic team. Was it the right move or the wrong move?
Well, I just feel like, and I think Perloff kind of touched on it, that if she's not one of the top five guards in the WNBA at this point, 15, 20 games into her rookie season, I think it's a disservice to those other potential top five guards for her to get the opportunity and them not.
Are you going to watch?
Well said.
Am I going to watch?
Yeah.
I think that's really irrelevant on whether or not she deserves to be on the team or not.
Well, but here's the thing, Zach, thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate that. We both do. Here's the thing about deserves. That's a tricky word because team building is completely subjective. And there's a lot of people who deserve or don't deserve to be on any kind of team. And they get left on or left off for a variety of different reasons. So I feel like deserve is a tricky one.
Okay.
Because I gave you numbers here. She made the second most three-pointers. She's second in three-pointers made in the WNBA.
Yeah.
She's 13th in the WNBA in points per game. She's fourth in assists per game.
Yeah, yeah. Her team is terrible, and she's shooting a low percentage. I mean, you can make that argument, too.
Okay, with better teammates, she might be better. Like, on an all-star team, essentially. You don't think it's going to look better?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched enough WNBA, but it doesn't seem to me what I've seen so far. I saw the game where she got completely shut down by the Liberty, that she's clearly one of the top five guards.
Yeah, but that was a back-to-back. That was a really tough moment. Did you watch the 7 three-pointers that she made against DC?
Yeah, the worst team in the league.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, she's not as bad as when she plays against the best team, and she might not be as good as when she plays against the worst team.
Right, she's kind of like a 16-point-a-game scorer.
Okay, and she also played in front of 20,000 people in DC, and if you're wondering if that's a record, it was.
Oh, I'm well aware of her popularity.
And so, I have numbers for you that tell you that she's not bad. She's not going to embarrass the jersey.
Yeah, she definitely.
And she adds so much. Stuart's in North Carolina. Hey, Stuart, what's up?
Hi. Andrew, you are on the wrong side of history on this argument, my friend.
Hit me.
Caitlin Clark would not be like Christian Laettner, a symbolic player. You cannot definitively say there's five other guards in that league that are clearly that much better than Caitlin Clark. She's the most dynamic player in the WNBA, and I don't think it's close. She's the closest thing the WNBA has ever had to Pete Maravich. She's a great shooter. She's the best passer in the league. And putting the popularity on it just adds icing on the cake. But she is not somebody who should sit at the end of the bench playing 2 minutes. She can play with anybody in that league. She had the worst schedule in the league to start with, playing every other night for like 3 weeks. And all you have to do is watch her for two quarters and you'll see how talented she is and how good she is and how she can play with anybody in that league. And if Christine Brennan is accurate and she's as good a reporter as there is in this country, shame on that committee for leaving her off because those other ladies are embarrassed by the publicity Caitlin Clark has brought that they have dreamed of for 25 years.
You know, Stuart, I don't know why ultimately she was left off, and thank you so much for the phone call. I don't think it was to, like, teach her a lesson or send a message or anything like that, because you would just be doing a disservice to your own sport. And from what I can see, the roster, the people who choose the roster looks like, and if I'm reading the internet right, it'd be Dawn Staley, Simone Augustus, Delisha Milton-Jones, Jen Rosati, and Bethany Donovan, who's the head of WNBA League Operations. I think we all know who the other women are. That's a decorated group who clearly wanted the game to grow. So I don't know if they would do this to, like, again, send a message to her. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, well, why are we punishing her popularity?
Well, that, okay, all that being said, too, it feels a little insulting to the players who are on the roster, because I'm actually looking at the roster like, these are big stars. Like,
definitely.
Not like, it's not an easy, who do you drop off? That's the other thing, too. I understand what you're saying about Caitlin, and the caller saying about Caitlin Clark being really good, but all the players on there are really good. I mean, it's not like there's, it's not like they put a medium player on the team. So I think you could easily make an argument. I mean, I understand Diana Taurasi is old. I saw this game the other day where she hit 7 threes in like 3 minutes. Like, she could get hot still. And she's Diana Taurasi.
She's Diana Taurasi. I can't really argue with that.
I mean, that's probably going to be the cut for her.
It's like the commitment to the program. It's a little bit of a lifetime achievement award. We're watching the same thing
she's
with
still really good, too.
And LeBron is still really good, and he's going to play in the Olympics. And Durant's still really good, and he's going to play in the Olympics. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, who are you going to count? Like, Jewel Lloyd or Kelsey Plum? Like, these are stars everywhere on this roster. So it's not that obvious that she makes it. Like, that caller saying, like, oh, she's already head and shoulders above these other players. It's not the case at all.
I will make a wild prediction. I think the vets who weren't really gung-ho on her coming into the league to begin with, I think some of these vets on this team kept her off.
You think so? You think it was Isaiah Thomas-style
stuff? Yeah, I can see that happening.
But don't all the vets on this team want to be on the team, so of course it's there instead of, like, pick me over her. Well, why wouldn't they? But it's not up to them.
Well, but people have power. I mean, if you're a big enough player, you can go in that coach's office, you can go in that GM's office or wherever and make your case. Hey, I don't want to play with this person. That could be the case as well. Not saying it is, but you have to throw it out there.
Yeah, I think it'd be short-sighted. William's in California. Hey, William, what's up?
Well, good morning, and love your show.
Well, thank you.
Previous listener stole my Christian Laettner, Isaiah Thomas thing, but I believe that the best players, the best achievements, the people, the young men and women that grow up their whole life and want to be on an Olympic team are the ones that should be there. Now, you had brought up the subjective argument. Well, it's both. The best people in track and field have to have the best times to get into the Olympics.
Right.
Same with the swimmers. You look at figure skaters, though, gymnastics, very subjective.
Yep.
Okay? But you got a double argument there. I really enjoy watching this young lady play. She's terrific. But my feeling is you're going to have a musical chair situation here where somebody's going to be left off that chair. And it could be somebody that really deserves to be on that team who has earned it through her merit and through her play. And I got a with Perloff on
that. Yeah. Hey, William, I get it. And I see this other side of the argument. Don't get me wrong. And I don't mean to sound cynical about this, but sports is a business, even the Olympics. And we like to add a lot of stuff onto this. Like, it's this really, you know, like, no one's paying attention to any dollars at all when it comes to the Olympics. Like, it's all love of the game. We know that's crap. Right. And it's not true. And here's the thing also about sports. We love to say that it's a meritocracy, and in some cases it is. Also, it's sometimes not fair. And sometimes when you're trying, you have a greater goal, which is growing a sport and expanding it into new shores and to new horizons. I would just not forest through the trees here. You're worried about what could happen. I would be worried about what you're missing out on. Like, you're worried that you're going to offend somebody, you're going to snub somebody else, which nobody in this audience would have cared about at all if it's not Caitlin. That's your proof. She's different. And I think that Bill Parcells had different rules for different players.
Yeah.
It's not always fair, but it would have been the right thing to do for her and the sport. Or leave her out of it. For the sport, it would have been the right thing to do. And then this is the opportunity.
I think gymnasts get scored in trials, right? Like, there's trials for all these others.
But it's like judges.
Yeah, no, I know. But it's at least they're, like, I think a gymnast has to go through an Olympic trial, like, and they judge. And the judges are very technical, so.
But there is some politics on who makes the team.
Some, but I mean, like, I actually know that, but I think,
there definitely is.
But also, too, like, at least they have, like, a scored trial, unlike this, which is just purely subjective.
Exactly.
And by the way, I'm looking again at the roster bag. I want to hear who you're taking off.
Well, that's not my job. Andrew Bogus is here. He's got headlines. Good morning, folks.
Did anyone else think it was odd that they scheduled, like, their tryouts for this during the Final Four?
Yes, yeah,
so she couldn't go to it? Like, didn't you, like, you'd have to assume that somebody that you might want to look at was going to be in the Final Four. And they
That's so lame, though. You're telling me, like, you need, like, the NBA needed a guy in college? Like, why? You don't have 12 players without the college ranks?
Well, and the college ranks with the talent that's coming in now and just knowing what the field, what your pool was in case you needed to pull somebody up, how they would compete against WNBA players. Wouldn't you have wanted to see Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark in that setting in case you needed one of them?
I mean, Angel Reese, she was the number 7 pick in that draft.
All I'm saying is it doesn't make sense to me to schedule something like that, even if it was specific for Caitlin Clark, to go, why would you do that when you're assuming she's going to be busy that weekend?
Well, the other part, I think this could, if we think there is this tension, as Pete said, which is like, you know, maybe veterans are, you know, came together to kind of keep her off the team or what have you, then this is a great opportunity for her to get to know these women. And actually, you spend a month together, and the basketball is totally away from everyone else because security issues. So for the most part, the NBA players and the WNBA players kind of stay together, and they have extra security. So this could have been a bonding situation.
Wait. This isn't like a friend trip. What is this supposed to be? An Olympic gold medal? You're saying this is good so Caitlin can bond with these stars? Perloff,
how many super teams were formed on Olympic rosters because guys are together for a month, all by themselves, isolated for the most part, and start teaming up and laying the groundwork for other, you know, moves down the line? This happens.
Oh God, you wonder why I don't like the Olympics. I mean, like, can we actually throw the ball out and play some sports and compete to see who can win? Like, instead of, like,
too.
We're talking about bonding overseas just because Ewing and Larry Bird became friends. That was a nice little side story.
No, this was Kyrie and Durant, man. This is where this got laid.
That's been nothing but bad for the NBA, by the way. Pete, what do you think of the Olympics leading to these super teams? Love it, right?
Oh, yeah, tremendous. I really want to go watch now. Corruption and super teams. Yeah, that'll do for me.
See, but if Caitlin was there, you probably would have tuned in, right?
No, but maybe better shot.
Had she played for the Liberty, you would, though.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Then he's watching every game,
yes,
of course.
Yes, right.
The Celtics had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter of Game 2 of the finals last night, but then the Mavs scored 9 straight points and had the ball in transition.
Dallas can make it a one-possession game. Bounce pass lead, but blocked from behind. Jaylen Brown on Washington. Celtics get it back. Jaylen makes the saving play.
Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio. Derek White eventually got credit for the chase down block.
I think my first 3 steps, it's really important. Just kind of put my head down and run. And then at that time, just trust the instincts and trust the timing that I have. And so just putting my head down and sprinting as fast as I can just to get in position and then go up and make a play.
Jaylen Brown definitely scored on the other end for the final points of a 105-98 Celtic win and a 2-0 series lead.
Would you guys agree this is the greatest chase down block in NBA Finals history?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm about the 8th person to make that joke. I just want to be clear about that. But yeah. I did laugh the second I saw him. I'm like, oh, the LeBronites are going to be mad about this. There's the foul, right? He fouled him because LeBron owns chase down blocks in the finals.
Yes. Now, I admittedly was asleep when this happened. Did anybody else point out in the moment that the clock stopped for like a second and a half after the block?
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
If you go back and watch the replay, the clock is stuck on 50.5 seconds. I think they thought it was either a foul or a ball out of bounds. And as they're coming back up the floor, the clock restarts after a little bit.
Yeah. Wow. Do you guys see, by the way, there was a call to goaltending by Derek White. He got up and blocked a dunk, too. He's an incredible shot blocker.
Because his thumb was inside the rim.
I know, barely.
The ref saw that from 35 feet on the hash mark.
By the way, one of the many things to insult ABC about their coverage, they never show replays of controversial plays. Like, there was a really controversial play where Al Horford and Gafford got tangled up, and the crowd's going bananas, and you hear them screaming stuff, and they never went back to it.
Did they never show the replay on the block you're just talking
about?
Yeah,
I know. They don't seem to care.
I'm the Derek White.
It's not like J.J. Redick and Doris Burke are in a flow, because they're not saying a darn thing.
It's like they won't show us the replay on something controversial to, like, show us a corner 3. I'm like,
I don't understand this broadcast at all. It's like they want to avoid all controversy.
Yeah, you're right. And Doris, she's so good. She adds so much. She's not saying anything.
Well, you can make a case that's why they're there.
No, I'm saying she's like literally not talking enough. I'm not saying she's not making good points. She does when she speaks.
But look at who they replace.
Yeah, they won't show the bad officiating because they fired Van Gundy because he was coming after the officials.
Right. Oh my goodness,
probably true.
But it's not even like official decisions. Like there was the previous round or 2 rounds ago was an ABC ESPN game, And it was the one of the Celtics Pacers, like Pacers meltdown early. And there was an out of bounds play where it was tipped at first, and then a Pacer went and got it, and trying to save it, he threw it out of bounds at his feet. And they spent all the replays talking about the tip at the beginning, not the fact that it was only out of bounds because as he was trying to save it, he threw it out of bounds. Like they're just off. Like they just don't cover the game well sometimes.
Did you see Luka last night at one point was trying to save the ball out of bounds and instead threw it behind him off of Tatum's head and just like bounced off of his head? I've never seen anything like that.
How about when Luka slipped and tried to throw it off? Three or four times he tried to throw it off Tatum because he just lost the ball, didn't know what to do. But you're right. There's something a little bit like they're not seeing the game. Like they're not watching on their monitors or something. Something's off.
Yeah.
So the Celtics, again, they win 105-98, 2-0 series lead. Now games 3 and 4 coming in Dallas on Wednesday and Friday. Dan Hurley says he'll pick between the Lakers and UConn today. He told ESPN the Lakers did make a compelling case for him to move cross-country. Tennessee, Florida, Texas A&M, and Kentucky all clinched spots in the Men's College World Series yesterday. The Wildcats going to Omaha for the very first time. And finally, boxer Ryan Garcia, whom we last discussed in connection with bee urine, arrested Saturday afternoon at the Beverly Hills Waldorf Astoria for felony vandalism. He's accused of doing thousands of dollars in damage to his room and the hallway outside said room. This guy's got legit problems, and he can't behave.
I mean, if you're a maid in one of those hotels, you come up, there's bee urine all over the place.
Like I'm quitting. It's poor maids.
And probably no tip either.
855-212-4227. It's just like, I don't have it on me in this yellow, in this orange jumpsuit. There's no pockets in there. Can't hold a wallet. Get your money out. Okay, thank you, Bogish. Coming up, so much more, including an update on the Scottie Scheffler story, your thoughts on Caitlin Clark getting snubbed from the Olympic team. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Before we get back to Caitlin Clark and to Dan Hurley and the update there, we go to Bergie, who's in Florida. Perloff is fascinated by this story, Bergie. What do you have for us?
Update to last week when you guys picked the biggest characters in sports. Well, Perloff, which is a great one, Spaceman Lee, he joined the Savannah Bananas and some other old Red Sox joined him over the weekend at Fenway. And the Spaceman was on the mound. He pitched in relief. He got hammered, but I'm sure he had a good time. Maybe he was hammered.
He gave
up 5 runs.
Double meaning. Oh, man, he gave up 5 runs.
So, Bergie, I saw they sold out Fenway in the video. Like, there was not an empty seat there. Who else did they bring out? Like, what was it, just them, or is it a star thing where people come out and join the team?
I know Papelbon pitched, and I know when they were in Texas that Roger Clemens, remember, several months ago, he pitched and he got hammered too. But so then there were about 3 or 4 other Red Sox. I think somebody else might know, but anyway.
Flaming bat? Like, what else did they do?
I'm not sure, but they have these bright yellow, you know, banana outfits. I mean, it's outrageous, but they must have a good time.
Yeah, they do a dance. I'm all in on this.
It was the Savannah Bananas and the Party Animals. They do this, like, kind of barnstorming thing. Bergie, thanks for the call. Yeah. A little like the Harlem Globetrotters. They walk on stilts, they dance, they sing, the crowd gets into it, and this was a fun quote by the president of the Savannah Bananas, when the stadium was built in 1912, I don't think they thought banana ball was coming. yeah, so 37,000 people, I guess, at Fenway, which is wild. I would love to go. They're not in this area, unfortunately, but I'd love to go and take my kid a flaming bat. That might get him into baseball.
Oh, my God. And the party animals, by the way, are wearing neon pink sleeveless jerseys. Yeah. I'm not sure. So is this a, what division of minor league is this?
You know, I don't.
I'm just kidding.
There's an actual Savannah Bananas that play minor league baseball. And this is like an offshoot of it that sort of does this sort of barnstorming tour.
Like a Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
This is just awesome. Yeah. Have you ever been to the Globetrotters?
As a kid, yeah.
Yeah. I played against the Globetrotters.
How'd it go? As part of the Generals?
We were called like the New York All-Stars at the time. For some reason, we weren't the Generals.
Okay.
It was okay. I mean, my stats weren't great because the damn ball had helium in it, Maggie. Like, how's it going to go in the basket if it's floating up into the rafters?
Man, that really was a cool experience, though. What else do you remember from it?
Well, I had a foul shot that a guy goaltended and they didn't call it.
How dare they? The ref's in the pocket.
No, they told me. So I got like 3 minutes of run. They told me I get out there and, you know, I'm a team ball player, so I got the ball. I was like 40 feet from the basket. They're like, you have to shoot it now. Like, what do you mean I have to shoot it now? I'm not even warm. And I threw up an air ball.
I'm not even warm.
I was like, there's a guy wide open. They're like, no, you have to shoot it. That's the point. You get out. The guy covering me told me to shoot it. And that got in my head. It was mind games.
Who else was with you on the non? Like, did you play against any of the famous Globetrotters?
The current Globetrotters. Okay. I don't know. There was some 7'5 guy who was awesome. I don't remember. No, Curly Neal was not there. I think he's passed.
Metal Arc Lemon.
That's the only two I can name. Is there another one?
Ray Ferralston.
Goose Tatum. I think Goose Tatum played in the 50s.
Was this all the Danettes?
No, it was just me.
Look at you.
There was enough roster space. Fritzy didn't make it.
Aw, snub. Yeah, not so much on the Caleb Clark level, but close. okay. You're still welcome to weigh in on Caitlin Clark at 855-212-4227 or Maggie and Pearl on Twitter. Coming up, major decision expected today that could change the landscape of both the NBA and college basketball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.